and join the things that belong together. Now let us turn, please, without further introduction, to Isaiah chapter 45. The desolate place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, for each day shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and the highway shall be there, and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not enter therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now keep your place there, let us read a verse or two of the Epistle of Hebrews chapter 12. Epistle of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Hebrews 12 and 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, let it rather be healed. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of His inspired word. I would suggest from my study that here in chapter 35 we have a prophetic picture. It points us on to that day when Israel as a nation shall be healed and shall be restored. And the maladies that are suggested here shall be corrected. There shall be great healing. There shall be streams in the desert. And there shall be springs of water. And a great time of blessing when the Lord Jesus is received and given His rightful place as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Israel in her distress, having been through her distress, shall cry out, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him." And shall bow the knee to the one they rejected and know Christ as Savior and Lord. Then there shall be spiritual healing and spiritual blessing, and the blessing of the Lord shall spread from shore to shore and sea to sea. But whereas Scripture is of one interpretation, there are several applications, and I want to apply this to our present day and to this audience this afternoon. There is always spiritual healing, there is always spiritual blessing in our lives and in our testimonies collectively, when the Lord Jesus is received and given His place, His rightful place in our midst, as our gathering center, and we bow to Him as Lord. Now you notice here there is suggested a sevenfold malady. First of all, strengthen ye the weak hands. We read that scripture, of course, in the Epistle to the Hebrews connected with this, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Now here we have the weak hands. And then secondly, we have the feeble knees. And third, in verse 4, we have the fearful heart. And then in verse 5, we have the blind eyes, and the deaf ears. And in verse 6 we have the lame man, the lame feet, and we have the silent tongue. And there is a sevenfold spiritual malady that will be corrected when the Lord, I say, finds His rightful place in the midst of His people. But there's a present application here. For instance, weak hands, well, that would affect our work. If our hands are weak, we cannot work. And there are many dear Christians who once worked for the Lord faithfully and dutifully, and they're no longer working for the Lord. Their hands, I'm speaking now in the spiritual realm, their hands have become weak for various reasons, we'll suggest in a moment. Then, secondly, we have in verse 3, the feeble knees. Now, if your knees are feeble, there's two things you can't do. It'll be hard to stand and it'll be hard to kneel. Both are true. Isn't that right? It's hard to stand with weak knees and it's hard to kneel. And so, in the spiritual realm again, if our knees are weak, it will be hard to stand for God. And it will affect our prayer life, indeed it will, because there'll be the lack of ability to kneel. Then the third malady here is the fearful heart. And this will affect both our faith and our confidence. We're living in a day, you know, when the Word of God speaks of when men's hearts are filling them with fear. And even though we are the Lord's people, this could characterize us if we're not very careful. We can lose our faith and our confidence in God. And many have lost their faith and confidence in God today, and there are fearful hearts all around us to be strengthened. Then the fourth malady here is the blind eyes. Now that would affect our vision. We sometimes sing in gospel meeting, O sinner, thine ears to his voice have been, thine eyes to his glory have been dim. And they cannot see the Lord. This could be true of us who are Christians. We've lost our vision. When there's no vision, why do people perish? We've lost our vision of God. You recall that David cried out, now hide not thy face from me, lest if thou hide thy face from me, I become like those that go down into the pit. And so when the eyes are blind, we've lost our vision of God. We've lost our vision of the need of God's people. And then we've lost our vision of the need of a sinless, godless world, a world that needs the gospel, the blind eyes. The next spiritual malady here is the deaf ears. Now this would affect our communion, would it not? David also prayed that he might hear God's voice. Be not silent to me. He prayed, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like those that go down into the pit. I wonder, are we hearing God's voice day by day, or are our ears deaf to the voice of God? They were going through life without this blessedness of communion. We're not seeing his face. We've lost our vision. The eyes are blinded. And we've lost the power to hear God's voice because of deaf ears. The next thing here is the lame feet. Now this would impede our progress. This would enter into our walk again. When our feet are lame, you know, there's not a balance. There's not the ability to walk for God. And many Christians who once walked for God and went on for God and made progress for God, they're at a standstill. And they're no longer going on for God, the lame feet. And finally, there is the silent tongue. This would affect our testimony, our witness, and also our praise. And unfortunately, there are many silent tongues amongst God's people today. There are those who once witnessed for the Lord. There are those who are once ready to praise the Lord, and they've lost their witness, and they've lost their ability to praise. And so here are the seven things here. The weak hands, the feeble knees, the fearful heart, the blind eyes, the deaf ears, the lame feet, and the silent tongue. A sevenfold spiritual malady or a sevenfold spiritual infirmity. I want to speak particularly on the first here, the weak hands. And the message to our hearts this afternoon in verse 3 of our chapter, strengthen ye the weak hands. So there is a need today for strengthening and encouraging one another. Now I know that it is a divine strengthening. Ezra said, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord God was upon me. Nehemiah says, and I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he has spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. And they strengthened their hands in God. There's the divine strengthening. Nehemiah also prayed, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And Daniel said, when he has spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Now God is able to strengthen us today and give us courage and confidence and help to go on. There is the divine strengthening from God. But on the other hand, it is that in the human realm. That is a responsibility that you and I strengthen one another. Everywhere we go, we find the weak hands. Christians, I say, once and not for God, they're discouraged. And discouragement, you know, is a very sad thing. And it's very common today. Discouragement. You recall long ago, in Numbers chapter 21, the people were much discouraged because of the way. And many of God's people today are discouraged because of the way. Now there's something entirely different in the Deuteronomy chapter 1. The people said, our brethren discouraged our hearts. Now we need to be careful about that, discouraging one another. If I should stand upon this platform and minister God's word and leave the hearts of God's people discouraged, I would grant you the right to say, well, that man, that preacher, did not have a message from God. Now the word of God sometimes cuts deeply. There is such a thing in a loving way as the ministry of rebuke from God's word, but here we need to be careful. The Lord Jesus said to one of the churches, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And any rebuke has to be given gently and lovingly. Often think of Peter Peter in all that stormy night when he left the boat to walk to the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. He dared not take a step without a word from the Lord. And he left that boat, and that was a step of great sacrifice. And he began to walk to the Lord on the water. And as long as his eye was upon the Lord, you know, the water was as solid as a slab of marble under his feet. But in a few moments, it seems that he got his eye off the Lord Jesus, and he looked at the raging billows of the mighty tempest, and It's in his beginning to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. That was a very short prayer, wasn't it? But it was long enough. Had it been any longer, he might have gone down. And he says, Lord, save me. Now, what did the Lord do? You say, well, the Lord rebuked Peter. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you read your Bible carefully, it says he stretched forth his hand. I think one revised translation says he put his arm around him. And well, look, my dear brother, you may find it necessary to rebuke me. You may find it necessary, but if you put your arm around me first, I'll guarantee you I'll take it. And so the Lord put his arm around Peter, and then he gently rebuked him, O thou little faith. Now the ministry of God's word sometimes does cut us. It kills and makes alive, you know. And it cuts very deeply as we are brought face to face with our failure and our departure, but it always should tend to encourage, and we, the minister of the word, should try to encourage God's people, as well as that our brethren discourage our heart. Now, there's no particular sin in being discouraged. I know we shouldn't be, but we do get discouraged, don't we? I often meet Christians, and they seem to be always on the mountaintop, always the praise the Lord, hallelujah time, and I rather envy them. But I've been around those people on another occasion when they're down a bit, too. There was dear Elijah, that great man of God, that man of venture and victory, and he won a great victory. And what about the next day after the great victory on the mountaintop? He was running from a wicked woman. He had lost temporarily his confidence in God, and he sat down under a juniper tree. You know what the Bible says? He said the exact words. It says, down under. He was down under. And I sometimes feel like saying, Elijah, move over and let me crawl in beside you. And so someone has said there is a juniper tree in every Christian's life. And I think there is. And these are days of great discouragement. So we need to help and cheer and strengthen and encourage one another, and this is my little message this afternoon. Now, so that you might be able, when I'm through, to know a little of what we have tried to speak about, I'm going to use a fourfold outline on my subject here. First of all, the condition to be feared. That's number one. The condition to be feared. Secondly, the challenge to be faced. That's two. Thirdly, the course to be followed. And fourth, the channels to be found. Now, shall we go over those four again? The condition to be feared, but we can't. The challenge to be faced, the course to be followed, and the channels to be found. What are the causes now that produce the weak hands? You see, this would speak of the loss of spiritual power and progress. It would imply spiritual decay. And we need to fear that today. It's so easy to lose our strength and our power for God and drop our hands and say, what's the use? What's the use of going on any longer? What's the use of trying to walk for God and live for God? We might as well give up. The whole thing's going anyway. Let us give up. No, let us not give up. Let us go on. We need to fear this condition because that which we fear, we seek to avoid. We are constantly meeting God's dear people, Christians who once went on for God and bore a bright testimony for the Lord, but today they're away from the Lord. And they've lost their testimony, and they've lost their joy, and they've lost their usefulness, and they've lost their power for God, and their hands are hanging down, and though once they worked bravely for God, they've lost the ability to work and to do for God, and they're just doing nothing. And unfortunately, many who are doing nothing, they're criticized those who are trying to do something. A man went to Mr. Spurgeon once and objected to the way Mr. Spurgeon was doing a certain thing for the Lord. Well, Mr. Spurgeon said, now, how would you do it? How do you do it? Well, he said, tell you the truth, I don't do it. Well, said Mr. Spurgeon, I like the way that I do it better than the way you don't do it. And so very often those that do least for God are very ready and very quick to criticize those who are trying to do something for God. Now, what causes weak hands? Well, burdens. You, dear sisters, know this, that if you went to the grocery store and bought, shall I say, 10 pounds of sugar and had a long walk to get home, before you got home, even carrying that small bag of 10 pounds, your hands would be weak. And I'll tell you, beloved children of God, this afternoon, as we travel around the country and try to help God's people today are carrying many heavy burdens. You'd be surprised. The burdens of the Lord's people are carrying today. The trials, the burdens are so heavy, and unfortunately, there are few to share and few to strengthen, and you to share in the burden, and our hands are weak. Then there are those whose hands have been weakened because of bereavements and losses. I visited a dear widow some time ago. We spent a good bit of time visiting the sick and the shut-in and the lonely and the widows. She said, you know, Brother Gordon, when my husband was living with me, we always shared things together. Whatever burdens and trials came, we shared them together, and it was much easier. But she says, now I find myself entirely alone. She said, I know I can go to some of my Christian friends and unburden my heart, and I can always go to the Lord, but she said, I miss my beloved at my side, for we always share those burdens together. And so as a result of bereavements and losses, many today have the weak hands. Now we mentioned Elijah, his hands are weakened because of failure and discouragement. And there is enough to discourage us today. There's much to discourage in every hand, but thank God, there's much to encourage. David, in the very depth of discouragement, we read, he strengthened himself, he encouraged himself, is the word in the Lord, his God. And we sing, with all created streams are dry, thy fullness is the same. But nevertheless, many are weak today because of failure and discouragement. And they say, well, what's the use? I've tried and I failed. Oh, beloved, if we did fail, let us go on just the same. God has grace for every failure, you know, and we should try to go on. Then, sometimes the hands are weak because we've suggested this, a lack of help from others. In the days of the Elijah, there was no burden bearers. And it is rather surprising today, rather sad, that amongst the Christians, God's people, it seems that few are bearing and sharing the burdens, and the rest are just going along, caring not about these burdens, these responsibilities that should be embraced, that should be taken care of. Some find their hands weakened because of tampering with sin, with the world and Satan. There was Samson, you know, and he tampered with that which he should not have touched. He tampered with that which represents sin. There was a Delilah in his life. And his hands were weakened. He lost his power. He lost his strength because, by saying, he was tampering with the world and tampering with that which represents sin. And many a dear Christian finds their hands weakened today because they're tampering with that which they should not touch. May the Lord speak to our hearts today. There was David. I think his hands were weakened because he failed to keep his eye upon God. God had sustained him, but now in a weak moment he said, I shall yet perish one day by the hand of Saul. Now he didn't perish by the hand of Saul at all. That which he feared did not come upon him. The Bible says that David lived to a ripe old age. That which he feared didn't come. And that's often the way with us. The things we fear never touch us. But David, for the time being, he lost his confidence in God. He went down to the land of the Philistines, and he was there a full year and 4 months, 16 months. And I don't know whether that's absolutely correct, but I suggest this thought. During those 16 months, you have no record of David praying, and perhaps there's no record of David writing a psalm during those 16 months in the land of the Philistines. But he got his eye off God, and his hands were weak. In the days of Haggai, the hands were weakened because they were putting self-interest first. People say, well, it's not time to build the house of God. That'll come later. We'll take care of our own things first. We'll take care of our own interests first and build our own homes. Now, there was nothing wrong with their building their own homes. But the wrong was this. They were putting their own interests first, and the things of God were relegated to a second place. And this is a great danger today. Why, we've got to take care of ourselves, our home, and our family, and our this, and our that, and the other thing. And the things of God, why let them go? Let others take care of those things. Well, beloved, we might learn the lesson of putting God first in every detail of our lives. This is the only secret of blessing and success in the Christian life. And so this condition may affect all. And often those who, you know, we consider strong, they feel their weakness all the more. And there are many, I see, of God's dear children, the young and older, and the hands have become weak. And you can't be harsh with them. The thing to do is go to them. It's easy to scold, be she condemned. But our responsibility, so notice in a moment, is to go to them and try to strengthen those hands. There might be recovery, spiritual recovery, for God is a God of recovery and restoration. And those hands can be strengthened in the mighty God. So there is that condition to be feared. But now there is a challenge to be faced in our text this afternoon. Are we going to face this challenge? We all have this responsibility. Says one, well, you know, I have so many problems and burdens and trials of my own, I have no time to help others. This is very sad. I know we have personal problems and trials and all the rest, but there should be that desire on our part to help others. Even those who consider themselves, I say, the weak can help the strong. We need a little child to lead them, and a child can strengthen a giant. We must not be satisfied in thinking that we are not a hindrance. We must seek to help. And you know, it is amazing today how many need the encouragement and need that word of strength. There is Elisha, who served Elijah. I don't know whether I'm positively correct, but I have tried to examine the matter. And there's only one thing recorded of God's servant Elisha covering a period of 14 years. You know what it is? It says he poured water on the hands of Elijah. And that would strengthen Elijah, wouldn't it? He poured water on the hands of Elijah.
Only one deed recorded in those 14 years. But thank God for that one deed recorded that shall always stand out in the annals of history. Jonathan strengthened David. You see, the lesser strengthened the greater. We read in 1 Samuel 23, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And often those that we consider the greater, they need that word of strength and comfort and encouragement. Some years ago in the state of Rhode Island, I was sharing in a conference with several brethren, and I was rooming, staying in the home with another brother who was a giant for God. And he was here this afternoon. If he walked in, I would be ready to sit down and let him take the platform. A real giant in the house of God, a great minister of the word of God, a man beloved by all who know him. I'll not mention names. We arose in the morning, and he called me into his bedroom. He said, "Gordon, I don't know whether I can go ahead today with the ministry." He was with myself, obligated to minister that afternoon. I said, "What's wrong, brother?" calling him by name. And he broke down. He threw his arms around me. And he wept. He sobbed like a child as he had burdened his heart concerning some great sorrow within his family circle. He said, "I just don't know whether I can rise above this thing or not," he said. "I just feel completely overwhelmed by this thing. I don't know how I can help others." Well, I said, "Beloved brother, we'll get on our knees and pray." And we prayed. And we wept together. That afternoon, he ministered words of help and encouragement and cheer and strength to us, the people of God. You see, there was the lesser strengthening the greater. There was a man who was considered by God's people as a giant in the things of God, but his heart was broken. His hands were weakened because of that deep, deep sorrow in his family circle, and he needed to be strengthened. And so, beloved children of God, we must be on the lookout. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we must be ever ready and ever willing and ever desirous to try and encourage and help one another. I say it's easy to discourage. It's not hard to do that at all. Anybody can do that. But I never remember a day when there was a greater need for the ministry of strength and help and encouragement as it is today. So let us be exercised about this and let us face this challenge. Are you and I ready now to try to be a help one to another? Helpers. One of the gifts in the New Testament. Let us be helpers. Someone said in any group of Christians there's helpers and there's yelpers and there's scalpers. Now let us be a helper and let us be ready and willing to strengthen each other's hands. Now what about the course to be followed in this matter of strengthening hands that we're looking at this afternoon? Well, in the first place, we should be watching for the need. Observation. That's the first word. You know, sometimes we are so completely self-centered and so completely engrossed and occupied with our own problems and our own trials and so on and so forth that we fail to observe that others are passing through deeper trials and carrying greater burdens and having greater problems. We become so self-interested, so self-occupied and interested in our own things that we are not looking upon the things of others. And that's the exhortation in the book of the Philippians. We're to look on the things of others and not our own things. We're to be on the watch. Constantly watching for that believer, whether older child of God or a young believer, and to observe, now, there's a Christian that needs help. There's one that's passing through a real trial. You can tell just to look at them, and they need help and encouragement and strength and succor. You need to be on the watchtower. This is not just a work for the elders. This is a work for each one of us. Observation. But then, you know, if we're going to encourage others, we've got to keep right with God ourselves. We've got to be in that condition that will enable us to help others. David prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, then shall sinners be converted unto thee." And the Lord spoke to Peter, who denied the Lord, but who was immediately restored. He says, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter denied the Lord. "When thou art turned about, strengthen thy brethren." And you know, that night when Peter went fishing and he shouldn't have gone, he was disobedient, he was acting himself well. John 21 begins with a great big capital I go fishing, and then to the great big capital me, Christ, follow thou me, not I, but Christ. But Peter was occupied with himself and his own interests. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, "A man that is wrapped up in himself is a very small package," and that's true. Another man made the statement, "If a man falls in love with himself, he has no rivals," and that's true as well. Now Peter was occupied with himself, I go fishing. But the Lord met him on the shore, not with a club, not with a whip, but with a fire, with the coals of fire, with fish thereon. And the Lord fed Peter, and the Lord warmed Peter. And Peter was, to a great measure, restored, and his will was broken. Now he said, "Peter, I fed you. You go out and feed others. Feed my lambs and feed my sheep." You see, Peter had to be in the right condition himself before he could strengthen others. But you read his lovely letters, particularly 1 Peter in the whole 5 chapters, he's engaged in the ministry of strengthening the hands of others. His own hands have been strengthened. He got right with Christ and right with God first. If we want to help others, you know, we must be enjoying God's word and be strengthened. We refer to Nehemiah. He says, I told them of the king's words which he had said unto me. I told them of the king's words which he said unto me. You know, beloved Christian, what comes from the heart will go to the heart. And if God would just give me a little word in my heart, a word from God, and I give you that word, it'll go to your heart. It'll go to your heart. And we read in Deuteronomy, these words shall be in thy heart. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. When thou walkest by the way, it begins in the heart, you see, and then the lips and so on. And so, as you and I seek to keep right with God, as you and I seek to keep in the right condition before the Lord, we'll be enabled to help others. We love those that I say immortal words, Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast thought, so let me seek thy erring children lost and lone. Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart. Wing thy words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. Oh, fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflow in kindling thought. And glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show. Oh, lead me, Lord, that I may lead the wandering and the wavering feet. Oh, feed me, Lord, that I may feed thy hungry ones with manna sweet. And so, beloved Christians, as you and I seek to keep right with God, and we're in touch with the Lord, and we're enjoying the Lord, and the Lord is filling our own hearts with his word and with himself, and then we'll be able, you see, as we observe the need, to go to another child of God, a brother or sister, a young brother, a young sister, an elder Christian, and be able to impart to them the good things that God has given to us, and we'll be able to strengthen their hands as we ourselves have, first of all, been strengthened by communion with the Lord. So let us keep right with God. Let us keep on the watchtower of observation. Let us be watchful for the need that is existing all around us. And let us so keep in touch with God and enjoy the Lord ourselves that we'll be able to pass on, I say, a word of comfort, a word of strength, a word of assurance, a word that will help another child of God on life's troubled sea. I want to consider now the channels to be found in this work of strengthening the hands. Well, we can surely go to a brother or sister, you know, and in the right way put our arm around them and say, well, my dear brother, how are you getting on with the Lord? You haven't been attending the meetings too well, and you don't look just too happy. How are you doing? How are you getting on with the Lord? And so there is that personal contact. I remember well when I was a young Christian, how older Christians used to come to me and often put their arm around me and ask me the question. It's not done so much today. Well, Gordon, how are you getting on with the Lord? You know, that question itself would have strengthened me, that they were interested in me. They showed their interest. This is why it's nice on occasions, many occasions, as often as possible for the younger to be with the older. Now, you know, we went off to know that I'm not suggesting young folks can't have their good times together, their social activities, and be together at times, but sometimes there's too much of the segregation. I heard it here at Aged Servant of Christ say once, he said, when I was a young man, I enjoyed being with the older Christians. He said, now I'm an old man, and I enjoy being with the younger Christians. And I said, amen. So it's nice to be together, isn't it? The lambs and the sheep grazing together, the Pauls and the Timothys together, so that those perhaps who are found along the way can encourage the young in Christ or otherwise. But we often, you know, a young person can come to you and encourage you. I was in a place at one time and I was quite discouraged at the time because of various reasons, and I was trying to preach this particular night and the Lord, well, I didn't seem to be getting much help from God. And I thought, well, perhaps I wasted the hour, wasted the time. A few days later, a lad of 12 years old came to me, and he took me by the hand. He said, Uncle Gordon, I want to tell you, he said, how much your message meant to me the other night. He said, it was just for me, and it helped me in my Christian life. He said, I was facing temptations at school, and what you said was a real help to me. And he said, it saved me, perhaps, from denying the Lord. Well, I said, thank the Lord. Roy, that was his name, you see. The lad encouraged the older one. And so there was that personal contact. Then, of course, we can strengthen one of those hands by prayer. Well, very often at times when our hands are weak, we suddenly feel that surge of strength, a renewed strength. What has happened? Someone is praying for us, maybe miles away. And oh, how encouraging it is when one looks to us and one tells us, no, Gordon, I pray for you every day. Why, it's worth more than $1 million. Thank you. Thank the Lord. We feel so rich, don't we? When others are praying for us, now I know there's a number to pray for, and there's a lot to pray for. I said to my wife, you got the morning, you know, our list is getting quite long now. Of course, we have a little more time than perhaps you do. The list is getting quite long. We try to keep that list and add to it and pray for those that we love and know in the Lord, particularly those who are in some specific need. So we can encourage by prayer. Then, you know, we can encourage by visitation. Well, you'd be amazed what a visit means to certain Christians. There are those, you know, who are lonely and shut in. I went to see a dear old sister recently, and she broke down and wept. Oh, she said, it's so good to have a visitor, a visitor. She said, you know, I've been shut in for 5 months. And she said, you're the first Christian, you're the first brother that has visited me. Well, I said, that's very sad indeed. I could say nothing else. She said, it has meant so much to me to have a visitor. I remember once we were preaching in a small town, in the small assembly in the province of Ontario, and we got the names of the older Christians and those that were shut in. I think Mr. McCurkin was with me. We were laboring together, and we went around day after day visiting the Christians, the shut-in. We went to see this dear sister who had been shut in for a number of weeks before it was winter time, and she was so pleased that we came to see her. She says, you know, just to look at you men does me good. I thought, well, doesn't that much to help you? She said, just to look at you men does me good. I heard a missionary say once, he said, I was so lonely on a certain occasion, after weeks of being alone, he said, I would have welcomed a Christian's dog. So lonely. There are many lonely hearts today to be cherished, to be nourished, to be strengthened, to be helped, to be encouraged. Now I know that brethren are very busy today and often there isn't the time. Mr. Vance Havner of South Carolina said the three words that characterize the world today are hurry, worry, and bury. And that's about true, isn't it? And we're living in a day of rush, you know, and we're just too busy to read and too busy to pray and too busy to visit. Well, there are God's people that need that little visit. And surely we can spare one evening a week, or maybe two, to go out. And to visit that lonely Christian, that shut-in believer, that discouraged child of God, that weary believer, and read to them and pray with them and just visit with them and let them know that we're interested in them. This will strengthen the hands. There are many other ways we might speak about this afternoon that would strengthen the hands of the people of God. Sometimes just sending a little card, a little letter. I don't know about you, but my wife and I keep a large supply of Christian cards in our home. And immediately, as soon as we hear of someone being shut in or sick, we just sit down and write a few words in the card. We're thinking about you, and we're praying for you, and put a 13-cent stamp in the card and send it away. Why, we hear later on, your card came just the right time. Oh, to know we were just being thought about. It helped us so much. These are some of the channels to be found in this great work of strengthening the hands of God's people. So there's the condition to be feared, and the challenge to be faced, and the course to be followed, and the channels to be found. I wonder, as I shortly close, are we exercised about helping one another? Are we exercised about strengthening the weak hands that exist in every hand? We all have a part in this. We all have a share in this. Oh, that God might stir our hearts this afternoon. I was thinking of this little word this morning, and it burdened my own heart. Our time is short. And I say again, there are weak hands, weak hearts, to be encouraged, to be cheered, to be strengthened in this difficult day. Are you and I willing to make any sacrifice and get right with God ourselves and engage in this blessed ministry of strengthening the weak hands? Now, just in closing, turn with me, please, to Job chapter 4, and we'll read this, and we'll be through with our little message. Job chapter 4, please. And these are the words of Eliphaz the Temanite. Verse 1. Job 4 and verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we have saved in communion with thee, wilt thou not be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Now notice, behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. And thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Let's read verse 3 and 4 again. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. When I was looking at these words before the meeting, my heart went up to God. I thought, if these words could possibly be said or written of me, myself, after my little journey was over, my life would not have been spent in vain. I came across these words of poetry some time ago. I'll just read them. When someone does a kindness, it all seems to me that's the way our Father would like us all to be. For when we seek to strengthen another's hands and heart, We are following in his footsteps, and we've had a little part in serving him who loves us. But I'm very sure it's true that in serving those around us, we serve and please him too. The Lord said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so this is the gist of my little message this afternoon. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Lift up the feeble knees. The Lord help us to be interested and exercised and ready to be used of the Lord in this ministry, in this state of discouragement, of difficulty, of weakness, to strengthen, I say, the hands and the hearts of one another and help God's people along the way. And God will bring it all up to us now and in the coming day. The Lord bless his word.